Well, the job numbers today, private sector job numbers, stunning, stunning number. I would just say, once again, you have witnessed history. It is very unlikely, I pray, that we will never see the kinds of job numbers that we have seen. Let's just hope that this month, the month of May, this is an April number, isn't this bad as well. This is really a stunning number, and it's something that we haven't seen since the Great Depression. And, you know, the question is how long it's going to last. It is not having a stunning effect on the markets like you would expect or you would see. And that is because, of course, this is not a consequence of the economy or markets. This is a consequence of a worldwide pandemic. Something that we have never seen since we've been tracking these numbers or haven't seen ever and here in the United States. So it is amazing. You know, I've been talking an awful lot about how difficult it is to try to predict the short term. So as I continue to try to come up with some conclusions to what it might look like, you've heard me say whenever we look at certain things, whenever we negotiate, and whenever we're trying to compare things to make decisions, the very first thing that we need to look at are options. So as I look at options, I begin to narrow down a few things that aren't really options at all. A lot of times there's some kind of wild assumption. And really, when you look at it closely, you find out it's not an option. It maybe is a desire, or it's maybe a remote, very remote possibility. So as I think about that, I came up with two options, two from about 20, it seems. So two options. Here they are. One option is that we continue to take this incredible, or at least it seems this week, this incredibly optimistic viewpoint that once the economy reopens next month, that everything is going to be amazing, that the markets are going to shoot up, that GDP is going to start up again. Productivity, industrial output, consumer spending, business sentiment, consumer sentiment, all going to rise as the economy reopens. Now, that would be an optimistic viewpoint if we had ample technology that we could count on that could somehow monitor or control the spread of the virus. Control it in such a way that there wouldn't be any fear of a resurgence or another outbreak of the virus come fall, winter. Here's the problem. If we possess that technology, it is not widespread enough to have any kind of impact on what could happen. It's not going to have any impact on monitoring the population to see what is happening. Now, I'm not saying that because I have a problem with it. I think that, yes, we've got to begin opening the economy up gradually. What I do have is the fact that we shouldn't have the kind of optimistic viewpoint that we might need to have for everything to just fall into place and work out perfect. So the second option, or the second scenario that we can look at, is the economy is opening too quickly and a second wave is very likely to come and downturn all the economy and increase all of our fears and start all over again in us needing to flip the switch off of the economy. Now look, but that's about it. They're the two options. We don't know which one we're going to take. This is the uncertainty part of all of it. But look, we, no matter what, we cannot afford, you cannot afford, I cannot afford to be overly optimistic. Listen, we've got 8, 10 years, maybe 20 years to invest. We have had, I know it seems like it's been years, we have had really 10 weeks of real negative activity and downturn. And 10 weeks, that's it. This is an issue and a problem that we haven't seen ever. So we don't know what the reaction is. But let me just tell you from an economic perspective and from my perspective on the economy, here's what I think is most likely. And this is the behavioral side of economics that I stress so much all the time. Listen, business corporate executives of small and mid-sized companies and of large companies are going to, whether it is outwardly expressed or not, are going to have an attitude of the second scenario that I gave. They're going to have an attitude of just in case this economy is opening too quickly, we need to sit and take a wait and see attitude, but I'm willing to put a few people back to work and start preparing so that if we're wrong and we get a treatment that we have 300 million doses of on hand, and we get a vaccine that we have 300 million doses on hand, just in case that happens, we'll be starting to ramp up and we won't have as far to go to get back up to speed again. See, corporate America, even if we open up the economy and there's all this optimism flowing, they're not going to be that optimistic. They're going to wait and see. So in thinking of that, I thought, what does this look like? Here we are almost halfway through the year. I think that 2021 is likely, for best case scenario, first two quarters, worst case scenario, the end of the fourth quarter next year, we are going to see somewhat of a maintaining, I'm going to say an 8 to 12% unemployment rate for 2021. That's pretty significant. It's not the end of the world, but it's pretty significant. It's better than the likely 20% unemployment rate that we're seeing now. So I'm saying all that to you is because I would like to take a moment to beg all of you. We do not need to fret. We don't need to be pessimistic. We don't need to think the sky is falling. We don't need to be living in fear over the economy and our money. We do need to have a little fear about what if, and that what if is I'm unable to keep my job or get back to work. Maybe a little bit of concern about that. But we don't need to live in all that other fear. We just need to think practically. And the markets do not think from a practical perspective. They get over-enthusiastic, over-optimistic, and over-exuberant about good news way more than they should. I just want you to just, and this is where I'm begging you, please chill out for a little while. It's only been 10 weeks. Relax. It's okay. It's okay if you miss 6 months of the run-up. It's okay. You'll be fine. Get in. We're looking for quality in our portfolios, and we're looking for stability. Quality and stability. That's what we're looking for. There is no way on God's green earth, even if we have quality, we can have stability right now. There is not enough data points out there that are pointing in any way, shape, or form to stability in great numbers coming in to this economy and into the market. So if you miss a temporary 5, 10, 15% run up, it's not going to be the end of the world. You will have chance to recover. And more importantly, let's err on the side of keeping what I have, staying put, preserving whatever cash position you have. I don't care if it's a lot or a little, but whatever it is, preserving what cash positions they have. Now look, if you're 40% in cash, it's too much. If you're 20% cash, getting close to being too much. If you're 20% cash and you're over 60, that's perfect. If you're 20% cash and you're under 60, or say under 55, then look, you got a little room to put back in a little bit. But let's try to be calm. Let's just try not to get overly optimistic. I'm hoping that it'll be time, 2021, to get overly optimistic. Now, if that could change, because we get treatment, that is, we've got the 300 million doses, we've got a vaccine, we've got the 300 million vaccines ready to go. The vaccine has been proven. We've got sentiment flowing in to the business side, maybe because of that, because some of the uncertainty of the severity of this or the possibility of this coming back is going away. Now, that could change. That could literally change in 3 months. That could change. So all of this might change come September. But right now, folks, we got to think about getting back to work. We got to continue to pray for this country. We got to pray for this leadership. And I'll tell you something, we had better be praying for President Trump's re-election, because if we don't get that, now we are going to be very, very, very thankful for the cash positions that we have. I'm just saying, very, very thankful. So I am going to continue to add things on my buy list. I'm going to do it because it's the right thing to do. I mean, there are a lot of stocks that are good buys. Hey, you're 25, you're 35 years old, man, buy whatever you want to buy. I still think you should have some cash for some more really strong buys that may be coming along. But look, let's just be patient and calm and relaxed and not worrying about missing a run-up. Let's just be thankful that we may miss the next big downturn that I think is likely to happen. I don't know that we are going to revisit the lows of the year. If we do, I think that's going to be a problem and it's going to be signaling a lot of other things. But look, for every run-up you miss, you're probably going to miss a downturn as well. That's just the place in which we live. Folks, I hope you have a wonderful weekend. I hope you will have opportunity in your prayer time and your worship time on Sunday to lift up this country, lift up the administration, pray God's blessing and favor upon them, please. Pray for our ministry, that I'm here this time next year, not me physically, that the ministry is here. I believe with all my heart, God has just gotten us cranked up. I believe that God has laid upon me certain things that I don't want to talk about because I don't want to sound like I'm over-spiritualizing something. But God has laid some things on me. I believe that there is plenty of work and a lot more work that he wants me to continue and to finish. So I think I'm going to be around here for a while. But more importantly, I want the ministry and the work that we are doing to be around here. I think of the ministry of feeding so many people. I got some great confirmation this morning from India on that, and not India Partners, but from India. So look, we need to continue to feed the hungry. We need to continue to evangelize. We need to continue to share the gospel. We need to continue to save babies and save lives for eternity. We need to watch closely for what could possibly be born out of all of this, an unbelievable repentance of America, a turning to God. We want revival in the country. Understand that revival will not come until God's people turn. Not everybody in the country, not everybody in the world. I'm talking about God's people, God's people. I'm talking about God's pastors repenting in a humble, sincere, complete repentance and turn to God. Oh, when that happens, we will have revival. Trust me. And maybe that is what this is leading to. Why do I say that? Because we know that's got to happen. We know it from Samuel. We know it from Joel. We know it from Isaiah, book of Daniel. We know it from Jeremiah, Lamentation. We know that's what has to happen. So let's pray to that end that it comes. Let's make sure that you and I, at some point in time between now and Monday, have an opportunity to go into our clothes closet, go out in the garage, go out in the woodshed, go out somewhere close and quiet where we can get on our knees, lift our hands, and pray that God would give us forgiveness and we will repent of all the things that we need to repent of, knowing that God is faithful to save us. Knowing, God tells us this, knowing that we will not bear the scars of our sin. Now, you may choose to revisit your sin, but that's coming from the darkness of the world. That's not coming from God. We don't need to be scarred from our sins. We don't need to do that. We just need to repent of our sins, and God is faithful to forgive us. Let's do that this weekend. I hope you have a great weekend. God bless.